funding for Think comes from SMU's Master of Liberal Studies program.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. What is the source of an actor's creativity? While TV audiences remember Stacy Keach best for his multiple turns as Mike Hammer and as the father in Titus, he is also much admired among his peers for a long career of diverse film roles and much-lauded stage performances, including several separate productions of Hamlet. North Texas audiences will be able to see him through May 3rd as Richard Nixon in the national touring production of Peter Morgan's Frost Nixon. The run opens tomorrow at the Majestic Theater in Dallas, and we are delighted he could make time for us this afternoon. Stacy, welcome to Think.
Thank you, Chris.
In 1972, when you were making Fat City, right. You told a reporter, "I hate Nixon, or at least everything he stands for." Did you have to find things to like about Richard Nixon in order to play him?
I did, and it took me some time to find those things. But I will say that Peter Morgan helped me, because he wrote the play. And I think his interpretation of Nixon is one that it engages the audience in such a way that you ultimately feel... I wouldn't go so far as to say sympathy, but I think understanding. I think you come to a deeper understanding of why he did what he did. And I think ultimately you appreciate his humanity. That's what I've come to.
What do you think was his sense of right and wrong and of his own iniquity?
I think that he really felt that he was doing, he justified his actions, I think, by virtue of the fact that he felt he was protecting other people. And I think he really honestly felt that his loyalty mechanism was the dominant sort of guiding principle in terms of what he did or did not do during Watergate. I personally don't totally agree with that. I think that he was, you know, out to save his own skin in many ways. But I think that ultimately, you have to come to some kind of some understanding of why he did what he did. And I feel that he did honestly believe that his loyalty to his, not only to his friends, but also to his family. He was a good family man, Nixon. I mean, that's something I've come to learn about him, you know, over the course of my research and playing him. He was a very good husband. He was a good father, as far as we know. And I appreciate those things. I honestly, during those Fat City years and during the years of Watergate, I really felt that he had betrayed the country, and that he had let the American people down. And he even acknowledges that. He finally comes to that admission in Frost Nixon. He finally does come to that place. Peter Morgan takes a little bit of an artistic license when he has Nixon saying that he was involved in a cover-up. Nixon never really did say that in the Frost Nixon interviews. He did acknowledge that he made mistakes, but he said that they were mistakes of the heart, not of the head.
There's hours and hours of content I know that they actually recorded in those sessions. Did you watch every minute of it?
I didn't. I watched a lot of it, mostly the Watergate section, but I did not get to, I mean, it's just endless. It goes on and on and on. But I watched enough to try, first of all, to glean what aspects of his behavior I wanted to sort of take and emulate. But no, I didn't. I did not. Nor did Alan Cox, who plays David Frost. But together, we did spend some time in those sections of the interviews that are germane to the play. Yeah.
It's such an interesting subject because in some cases you might be playing a historical figure for which there either isn't videotape available of what took place or they lived such a long time ago.
Right.
Where for you did you decide the line would be between impersonating Richard Nixon and sort of just drawing a profile of him?
That's a very good question. It starts in the very beginning. The very opening scene of the play is right before he gives his resignation. And the behavior, I actually happened to be at a person's house the night that he resigned and got a live feed of all this bizarre behavior that surrounded his resignation speech, where he's making these terrible jokes with his cronies and his staff. And then when he gets into the actual resignation speech, I felt that that was probably that I would be as accurate vocally in terms of and rhythms of his the way he delivered that speech. And then beyond that, it's not an impersonation or an impression. It's not a caricature. It's really a capture. Let's capture the essence of this man's soul. That's what I think Peter Morgan is after. And I think that that's and the script, the play really sort of compels the actor to go in that direction as opposed to doing an impersonation. Beyond that opening resignation speech, because you sort of have, you know, you have to establish the credibility. You have to say, okay, that's Richard Nixon. But I think the audience, their willing suspension of disbelief is at least from my experience, it's been pretty willing.
And it is really, to capture that on stage, such an extraordinary moment of public humiliation. There's got to be nothing more profound than that.
Well, it was deeply, and I think that vulnerability is another thing that contributes to his humanity, because you do feel for his, you know, the fact that he was a man, I think, out of his depth in many ways. In terms of his public persona, he acknowledges, he admits at the end of the play to David Frost, he asks David Frost if he enjoys going to all these parties that he goes to. And David Frost says, yes, of course, he said. And Nixon says, you have no idea how fortunate that makes you, liking people and being liked, having that facility with people, that lightness, that charm. He says, I don't have it. I never have. And it makes you wonder why I chose a life which hinged on being liked.
Yeah, I wonder if we would have remembered him more fondly had he had some very different career.
He says that himself. He was better suited to a life of thought, intellectual discipline. You know, he was a great lawyer. In fact, that's how he emerged into the public consciousness was when he prosecuted Alger Hiss. That's when he really came to the foreground. That's what he was good at. He was a very smart man. There's no question about that. But I think there was a darkness to him. There was a dark side to his personality. I don't know that people have asked me if they thought that anything in his Quaker background was anything there revealed. And I haven't been able to answer that question. I do know that he. His father, he refers to his father as someone who neglected him. And I've often wondered, I've tried to find out more about that, but it's very difficult. He was so guarded. Even in his memoirs and in his later books, it's very hard to get him to reveal deep, you know, personal kinds of things. You know, it's always, he talks about himself in the third person, too.
So do you come to this work more as a study of two archetypes and their strengths and flaws as two individuals?
Well, yes, absolutely. Are you referring to David Frost as well?
Yeah.
David Frost, yes. I think, again, I keep coming back to the play because I think the play is the thing here. I mean, what Peter Morgan does is he brings these two characters into together in parallel sort of journeys. Frost, a man who desperately wanted to abandon his image as being just a talk show host and an entertainer and be taken seriously as a journalist and to be taken seriously as an interviewer. And Nixon, of course, is a man who was going to use David Frost to rehabilitate his image and justify what he had done.
Does it surprise you at all that we are still so fascinated by Richard Nixon today?
It's amazing, isn't it? It just goes on and on. Well, because so many unanswered questions still. So many, it's a mystery in many ways. And interestingly enough, each night we perform this play, there are new emphases that come out, new reactions from the audience. we've also noticed differences in audiences depending on where we're performing and at different times. Prior to the election, we were on the road. The whole section about entitlement, where Nixon says, if the president does something that's illegal, it's okay because he's above the law, basically. That got a tremendous response prior to the election, because I think a lot of people at that particular moment in time were making parallel. They were drawing parallels between George Bush and Richard Nixon. Once Obama was elected, that line and that section of the play didn't have anywhere near the reaction that it had,
Wow.
Changed. And also depends on what part of the country we're performing in.
Actor Stacy Keach is my guest. He will be appearing tomorrow night through May 3rd at the Majestic Theater in Dallas as Richard Nixon in the play Frost Nixon. We'll return to our discussion with Stacy in just a moment and welcome you to join us by calling 1-800-933-5372. Right now, we would also welcome you to call our other telephone number, 1-800-456-5372. That is the number where we are collecting financial support from people just like you who value public radio and the things that we're able to discuss here in this venue, and recognize that the only way that's possible is through listener support. Jeff Whittington is here. He's senior producer of the show. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Chris. And during Think Today, everyone, we have a $1,500 challenge in play from the folks at Fujitsu Network Communications. This is to help move the drive along to a speedy conclusion, something that I know that everyone listening wants and something that everyone here in the building would also like to happen.
More than you. We are even more eager for the end of this.
Well, this is a $1,500 at-risk challenge. We must raise $5,000 during Think Today. So please call 800-456-5372. If you go online right now to KERA.org, I know we can make this challenge and move the drive that much closer to a conclusion.
We are really proud to be able to bring you extraordinary guests like Stacy Keach and like the people that we bring you all the time. If you're interested in actors, we had Adrian Brody a few weeks ago. We've had Gene Wilder on the show. We have had just a variety of luminaries. Of course, Jeff's always better at remembering individuals who've been here and sort of naming things off. But we also bring you academics, and we bring you ethicists and scientists and people who are really at the top of their game, regardless of the field to which they in which they are employed. We know that that doesn't happen everywhere, that public radio is unique in this way. It's also unique in that we're able to have a conversation for an hour. So it's not about getting a soundbite that sort of catches some little pithy thing and then moves on. We really want to get to the essence of the individuals we talk to. We know you value this as a listener because you're with us and our numbers are growing all the time. It's only possible because people just like you who listen and who value this decide to make a contribution at whatever level you can afford. So we would ask that you go online now to KERA.org or give us a call at 1-800-456-5372. Really would like to earn this challenge grant from Fujitsu Network Communications, $1,500 additional to the station if we can raise $5,000 over the next 2 hours.
Yeah, this is the time that it's very important if you've considered joining at one of the higher levels, maybe $300 or $500, that you do it. Call 800-456-5372. We're not looking for a number of contributions during the show today, Chris. We're looking for $5,000. So your call to 800-456-KERA, your pledge online at KERA.org at whatever level, but at one of the higher levels especially, will really help us get there and secure this at-risk challenge from Fujitsu Network Communications. Please don't wait. Please call 800-456-5372 or contribute online at KERA.org.
You may be at a place in your life where you want to become a friend of KERA. That's a member who gives at the $1,500 level or above. That's $125 a month if you do our sustaining membership. It makes it sound a lot more affordable, regardless of your budget. But whatever amount you want to give will help us get to this $5,000. So we ask that you call us now, 1-800-456-5372, or go online and make your contribution at KERA.org. Thanks.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's Master of Liberal Studies, offering a progressive graduate degree with flexible part-time study. You can pursue your passion at SMU, and you can learn more at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guest this hour is actor Stacy Keach. He is in town to appear April 29th through May 3rd in Frost Nixon at the Majestic Theater in Dallas. If you'd like to join our conversation, you're welcome to call 1-800-933-5372, or you can send email to think@kera.org. I think Frost Nixon is also an interesting work because it really forces the audience to think about the power of television to create an image.
Exactly. We, I think, tend to forget that Watergate was the beginning of reality television.
God help us all.
It was politics suddenly became a soap opera. We were glued to our sets. We just, I remember that vividly. And I think the play really gets into that, because one of the great things about the theatrical experience is you get a chance to see the live actor and the image of the of the actor simultaneously, much like you do at a sporting event or a rock concert.
As if you're watching the broadcast at the same time.
Exactly, because you are watching it. You see it on the monitors. And I think it emphasizes the power of television. Television changed the world, I think, during this era. I think suddenly the media became much more important and much more dominant in terms of their influence over the public's sensibilities and the public's perceptions of political figures. And I think it's continued to this day. I think right now, now the internet has taken over. I mean, now we're Facebooking and Twittering. You know, I think it's a very similar kind of situation. Then I think it was the media. I mean, Nixon he believed that television was responsible for his losing the election with Kennedy. If you listen to the debates with Kennedy, you were convinced that Nixon won. But if you saw it on television, he was convinced that perspiration and the shadow from his beard contributed to his losing the election.
Next to Kennedy, he was sort of tanned, rested, and ready, as they always say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was also, the Nixon era was sort of the end of innocence in terms of people's trust in government.
Right.
And do you think we've fundamentally lost something good in a way as a society, in that now, no matter what the intentions of a political leader are, there is a sizable portion of the population that will look at this individual and think they're not genuine?
I think, I think that we are... that was the germ. That was the seed. That was the beginning of that. I think it's here to stay. But in many ways, that was true in other countries, certainly in European countries and South American countries, for a long time. We always had this we could do no wrong. We were absolutely lily white, and I think that. From that moment on, stepping back a beat, I think the Vietnam War had a lot to do with it, too.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, I really think that that Johnson, even, once JFK was assassinated, I think there was, I played Johnson back in the day in a play called McBird, which suggested that Lyndon Johnson was partially responsible for the assassination of John F. Kennedy. It was a satire, but nevertheless, it was provocative and it was very controversial at the time. And I think that that was really the beginning of suspicions.
I wonder, as an actor in playing politicians over the years, if there's something that you can relate to in the sense that any politician is sort of playing a role in public that may or may not reflect everything that's going on behind the scenes.
Yes. And that role oftentimes, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. I remember some years ago, I had the fortune of... I played golf with Bill Clinton in a celebrity golf tournament in Stockholm, Sweden. And this was shortly after he had left office. And the Monica Lewinsky scandal was still brewing. And my wife just could not stand Bill Clinton. Really thought he was, depraved, immoral human being. And that night, after we had dinner in this gathering, she had the opportunity to meet Bill Clinton personally. And Bill Clinton has such charm and such charisma that, I mean, nobody knows how to blow up your tire better than Bill Clinton. And she met Bill Clinton, and that night, and, you know, the next morning, she said, you know, I think Bill Clinton, I think he's not such a bad guy after all.
Huh.
So, I mean, it's that ability that some politicians haven't. They just have this enormous charisma. I think Obama's got it. I think he certainly has a tremendous charisma as well. You know, I think that's a very important part of a politician's makeup. I don't think you can run for elected office if you're a wonderful president of a university and a great academic and have a great mind and have written wonderful books, unless you have an ability to project something, you know, in public in terms of charisma. I don't think you have a chance as a politician this day.
Stacy Keach is my guest. Our number is 1-800-933-5372. Let's speak to Alexandra. Hi, Alexandra.
Hi, Mr. Keach. I have admired and followed your work for many, many years, and I really, really respect you. I look so much forward to seeing your performance. I will be coming on the 2nd myself.
Good.
I have an actorly question for
you.
Yes,
please.
I would like to know, before you go on to play Richard Nixon, what physical attribute or attributes do you focus on as part of your prep, part of your warm-up, and what of that do you carry with you on stage?
Well, that's a wonderful question. With Nixon, I hunch my shoulders. He hunched his shoulders up. In fact, I need to get massages at the end of the week because my shoulders get very sore. But he hunched his shoulders and he fluttered his eyes. He was a flutterer, an eye flutterer. And those are the two things that I focus on. And I do some vocal warm-ups, but nothing, you know, of any serious nature. I mean, it doesn't go on and on. But over time, after we've been doing the show now for a few months, so it changes a little bit. Now it's not, I don't focus on those things so much. It just sort of happens intuitively. As I walk on stage, it just sort of falls into place. But that's a good question. Thank you.
You actually experimented with some like prosthetic jowls and all that.
Yes,
right? Initially,
I did.
can you talk about why you decided not to use them?
Well, I didn't feel that it was necessary, and you know, plus the fact I realized that in looking at the pictures of me with this all these accoutrements, the nose, the jowls, the eyes, that I looked nothing like Nixon. It was like you were trying too hard.
Mm-hmm.
It was not necessary because it's not an impersonation. It's an impression, but it doesn't require that. I mean, the willing suspension of disbelief on the audience's part is there. I mean, I don't have to worry about that now.
I have to say, you look great today. I know that last month you had kind of a health scare. You had some small strokes.
Yeah.
And you came right back to work. Did you have that epiphany that people talk about?
I did. I absolutely, I did have it, yeah. No, I changed. I've been a smoker for years and years, and that's all gone. That's done.
Has that been hard to quit?
You know, I have moments. I have my moments when I have a pang, you know, and want to get, you know. But I didn't do any of the help thing. I just cold turkey. I just quit.
So no gum, no patch, no nothing.
No,
wow.
None.
Does it make you think you should have quit before?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I wish I had. And, you know, I've been talking about it for years, and I just never did. But this was a wake-up call. For sure. And you know, I had a stent put in my carotid artery, and it's amazing when blood starts flowing to your brain, you know, you come to your senses.
What about, I know you have a wife and two kids. Did they, have they freaked out maybe even more than you have?
Yes. My wife was very concerned about it, very worried, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm knocking on wood, as I said. I'm very blessed to have come through it. I had a wonderful doctor, wonderful medical attention, and I was very lucky. I mean, I was able to get back to work fairly quickly, and just have to stay away from the fried food too. Yeah.
I want to talk to you about something that I know is really important to you, and you are a spokesperson for the World Craniofacial Association.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh.
And they do work mostly on children who are born with cleft lip and cleft palate.
Yes. And they also, but the other things as well, yeah. And also for the American Cleft Palate Foundation, I've been an honorary chair for years. I find it very gratifying to be able to help parents come to an understanding that it's not the end of the world if their child is born with a cleft. And also, I've been working very actively with I just finished with Dr. Jack Bruner in Sacramento. We're trying to get insurance companies to recognize that clefts and people who are born with clefts is not a cosmetic situation. It's a birth defect, and it's reconstructive surgery. But the definitions in terms of the insurance companies, they don't want to pay. They just do not want to, you know, shell out the dough to help people. And so we've been very active in trying to get those definitions in place. We just recently finished a bill in California which includes orthodontic work in terms of reconstructive coverage.
So it sounds like progress is being made.
It's being made, but it's so slowly. It's just, you know, it's not a great priority with people, and it is with me, obviously.
Stacy Keach is my guest. We'll return to our conversation with him in a moment and welcome you to join us by phone at 1-800-933-5372. You can also send email to think@kera.org. We are, of course, taking this small break because we are in the middle of our spring membership campaign. And we want to take this opportunity to ask you, especially today, to give us a call and make a contribution at whatever level you decide is right for you. We have this challenge grant working from the Fujitsu Network Communications. And they've offered the station $1,500 additional dollars if during the 2 hours of Think Today we can raise $5,000. Any amount of help would be great. If you happen to be in a position to make a large contribution, that's terrific as well. But the important thing is that we hear from you at 1-800-456-5372. Jeff Winnington is here with us now. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Chris. And yes, this is an at-risk challenge. It's $1,500 from Fujitsu Network Communications. We must raise $5,000 today during the Think program. We've made some progress, Chris. We have $4,240 left to raise by 2 o'clock. So please call 800-456-5372 or go online to kera.org and do it right now. And consider making a larger contribution if you've been waiting for a chance during the Think show to really help make a difference and really help speed things along. This would be a fantastic moment for you to call 800-456-KERA or pledge at kera.org. And if, you know, there's one of the books of an author that we've interviewed on the show in the last week or week and a half, those are probably still available. All those details are online at kera.org.
So any amount that you want to make a contribution in is fine. You know, I'm just thinking if we had 50 people give $100, and that's actually less than the average contribution, we could get this done in a heartbeat. So it's definitely something that can happen in the next 2 hours. 1-800-456-5372 is our number. Remember, everyone who makes a contribution during this campaign at all will be enrolled in this drawing that we have going. British Airways has given us 2 round-trip business class tickets to give to our winner, along with a $1,000 Marriott gift card so that you'll be able to stay somewhere when you get to London. And you'll get this tour of the BBC studios, which I think for a lot of us might be the highlight of the trip.
Yeah, it's a really great opportunity for you to be entered into the drawing. Someone's going to win this as soon as the drive ends. Hopefully, if we continue to achieve these challenges and keep making our goals, we can wrap the drive up this week. That's only going to happen if you call 800-456-5372 or go online to kera.org. And you know what? That's the only way you can get into the drawing either. You might be the winner of this round trip business class pair of tickets to London on British Airways, the $1,000 Marriott gift card, the tour of the BBC. Perhaps Susan Crum in Lakeside, who's renewed her membership, or Lucinda Momet in Dallas, who's renewed. How about Kitewan and Nandabiwat in Trophy Club? And we said Susan Crum already. Thanks so much to each of you for calling 800-456-5372 or pledging online at KERA.org. One of those folks, Chris, could win the trip.
I know. You know, every time we talk about this, I have to remind myself that we on the staff are not eligible to win.
What?
No, I know. Hard to believe, even if we are renewing our memberships.
I know.
Which is, of course, the way it should be. But it does sound like a great deal. We also have some thank you gifts. If you think to yourself, I would love to become a member, and what I know what I'm really paying for is this great radio, but I would like something to sweeten the deal, talk to the volunteer. We have books and tote bags and mugs and a variety of things. You can also check those out online at KERA.org and just take care of the whole thing digitally.
We still do have tickets to see Andrea Bocelli at American Airlines Center. This is on Saturday, June 13th at 8 p.m. These seats are in sections 117 and 114. There's just a limited number of pairs of these at the $600 membership level on a credit or debit card. You know what? If you make your call right now to 800-456-5372, you pledge $600 on your credit or debit card. You get the tickets, you support KERA, and you help us meet this challenge. It's really crucial that we hear from you because we have a $1,500 challenge on the table from Fujitsu Network Communications, and we've got to raise $5,000 during the show today or we don't get to accept that additional $1,500. And that's really a lot of money here at KERA. $4,240 left to go. So a $600 pledge right now would knock that down to around $3,600. It would seem a lot more doable at that point.
I do want to assure you that we are a staff of frugal individuals. We take very seriously our obligation to provide you with the best programming and our obligation to spend the money that you send us wisely and responsibly. We stretch as far as we possibly can. 56% of our funding comes from people just like you. Not necessarily your next door neighbor, not the guy in the other car, but you. So ask yourself why you listen to the station every day and imagine how empty your life might feel, how empty your day might feel if public radio was not here to serve you. We are glad that we are here, but we hope that you understand that it's only because of the continued support of people who listen to the station that we're able to be strong and healthy. 1-800-456-5372 is our telephone number.
It is listener-supported public radio. You're a listener. You listen. You're listening right now. Why not respond and call 800-456-KERA? We have a $1,500 at-risk challenge in play during the show today from Fujitsu Network Communications. It's a $5,000 goal. We've got to raise $5,000 or we have to say no thanks to this $1,500 additional gift. So please call now. Thanks.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's Master of Liberal Studies, offering a progressive graduate degree with flexible part-time study. You can pursue your passion at SMU, and you can learn more at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. Actor Stacy Keach is my guest in town for the production at the Majestic Theater in Dallas of Frost Nixon. It runs from tomorrow through May 3rd. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can give us a call at 1-800-933-5372. Regional theaters had really been thriving across the United States. And then since the recession started, we've heard reports of some theaters either cutting to smaller cast productions or cutting performances. Is that something that you worry about, if not for yourself,
yes.
for the craft?
Yes, absolutely. No, it's often said that during recessions, entertainment doesn't suffer. But I think we're beginning to feel the pinch, particularly in the theater, you know. And I don't know if that has to do with ticket prices. I'm not sure what the reason for that is, but I'm just about ready to embark on a revival of King Lear in Washington, and I was told by the producers at the Harmon Center in Washington D.C. at the new Shakespeare Theater that they're having a budget problem, in terms of. Their revenues and their subscriptions. I think we're in a fundraising mode here with at the station, and I think it's critical that we all get out there and really, keep reminding people about the importance of the arts.
Have you played Lear before?
I did. I played him in. I did it at the Goodman Theater in Chicago at the end of 2006 with the same production, as a matter of fact, mm-hmm. Robert Falls. directed it, and it's going to be revived in Washington in June and July. Now.
Do you feel like it's different in terms of your approach to the work if it's a classical piece as compared to something more contemporary?
Well, not really. I think that I've often said that the measure of an actor's abilities has something to do with the whether or not they can do both classical work and contemporary work at the same time. And I find that the approach to classical work, let's put, generally speaking, requires more research. But I don't know. It's interesting. I recently, I was recently in Oliver Stone's W, and right. I played a character that was not a historical character.
This is the preacher.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it was a composite. Earl Hudd was sort of a composite character based on James Dobson, Pat Robertson, Billy Graham, and it was a composite character, and it gave me such a feeling of liberation that I didn't have to adhere to, I didn't have to do an impersonation or any kind of, I didn't have to do any vocal inflections or whatnot. I could do whatever I wanted to do. And yet Oliver Stone, very wisely, he said, familiar with my work as an actor and knowing that I love to do research, he set up a couple of interviews with a couple of evangelical preachers in Shreveport, Louisiana, where we shot the film. And I had an opportunity to meet these gentlemen and sort of, pick and choose what aspects of their behavior I'd like to sort of emulate. And one guy was, he was a fire and brimstone. He was also the high school football coach, and he had 1,500 people, 15,000 people in his congregation. And he was very, very energetic. And, and another gentleman that I met was very meek and mild and very quiet and soft-spoken. So that kind of research is different than having to, to really deal with classical roles. Generally speaking, it's not just the research of the period. It's also other actors who have played the part, and that becomes a fascinating for me too. Yeah.
Do you feel like with the theatrical work that you need to have the character finished on opening night, or is there always room for something to change you move along?
Yeah. Always room. But you try, I think you do try to get it as finished as possible. I mean, you'd like to think that that's the way it's, but it's a process. It really is a process. And it evolves and grows and changes with audiences. Audiences tend to dictate where moments are better served when they're shorter, faster, louder, funnier, yeah.
So is it more fun for you to move around with the production than it is to be in the same place for
months? Oh, it's much more fun to move around, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's harder work, but it is more fun to move around and to get a sense of different audiences and different reactions.
Yeah, and you're in a particular city for just a day or so before you start up again.
Well, yes, before we start performing, that's mm-hmm. true. And generally speaking, the day of the opening, that's the day that we become acquainted with the theater. But the set that we travel with is permanent. I mean,
the dimensions are the same regardless of the
exactly,
space.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. But every theater is different. Every theater has its own identity, has its own acoustics, has its own feeling. And some theaters are better than others. Well, we have been playing in very large houses, 2,500 seats, which are much better suited to musicals. For I think it's interesting that Frost Nixon began at the Donmar Warehouse in London, England, with 250 seats, and then moved to the West End, then moved to Broadway, and now we're on the road. But it's fascinating to me that it still seems to work in large houses because of the nature of the production. It works. It still tends to work.
And of course you're mic'd, but do you have to project
in
a different way? You're not mic'd.
We're not mic'd.
Wow.
But the
mm-hmm.
stage is mic'd. Mm-hmm. And there are mics everywhere on the stage.
So there is some amplification.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But when I think when actors are mic'd in a straight play, it's very disconcerting a lot of times because you're not sure where the sound is coming from. Mm-hmm. You hear the, it's amplified sound, but you're not sure. You don't get a sense of whether it's stage left or stage right. The dimensions vanish, when the sound is all one level. So in our show, the sound designers, who are quite wonderful, have made it such that you know where people are speaking, whether they're left, right, up, down. Yeah.
You spent a fair amount of time in Texas when you were a kid, is that right?
I did, yeah. I grew up in the summers of my youth in Texas. My mom was a Texan. She was born in Trenton, Texas. And when she was very young, her parents divorced, and they each remarried. So in the summers of my youth, I would come to Wichita Falls for half the summer and then go down to a little town in outside of Corpus Christi called Taft, Texas, for the other part of the summer to visit my grandmother. And, Texas was always, for me, was always a place where I could be free. I mean, I didn't have to, I could ride my bike and go over to my friend's house and not have to worry about being abducted.
Because the rest of the time you were in Southern California, is
that's
that right?
That's true, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That must be a very strange shift culturally.
Well, it was, but I loved it. I just loved coming to Texas. And I had, as I said, much more freedom, and I had lots of friends in Texas that I grew up with. And I went to second grade in Taft, Texas. Mm-hmm. I actually attended school, and, yeah, I loved it. I just, I still have great fond memories of it. And I still have relatives here in Texas. In fact, my cousin Kellyanne Kane is right here in Dallas, yeah.
So is the Texas dialect the easiest one that you are ever asked to do?
When I get around Texans in conversation, I start falling into it very easily. I'll start talking start saying y'all it comes pretty easy for me, I would say that.
And the other thing I heard is that whenever you can, you try to find a good golf course when you go.
That's for sure.
Have you had a chance here? It's been raining, I guess.
No, I know, and we just got here yesterday, so I'm hoping to get out someplace on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the last thing I want to ask you about is, as you travel around to these different theaters, is there something that you're always delighted to see if a theater does have it and disappointed if it doesn't? And I don't know what that would be, whether it's
Full House is always a thing. Full House is always the greatest thing, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. We've been seeing some beautiful theaters. I love the tradition of I like theaters that have been around for many years, and you can go backstage and you see this on the walls, all the wonderful actors and performers that have been there. It's a great feeling. Yeah, you feel like you're part of a very wonderful tradition. Yeah.
Well, Stacey, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Thank you.
Stacey Keach will appear as Richard Nixon in the Peter Morgan play Frost Nixon. It runs at the Majestic Theater in Dallas from tomorrow night through May 3rd. You can find information about that on the Think page of KERA.org. If you would like to become a member of KERA, you can give us a call at 1-800-456-5372, or you can go online to KERA.org. There is a big support button at the very top of the page that you can't possibly miss, and you can make a contribution in any amount. However, we do want to remind you that we're working on this challenge of $1,500 from Fujitsu Network Communications if we raise $5,000.
Yeah, Chris, we've raised made a little bit of progress here. We're still looking for $3,775. That's actually really great news. That means we've done about $1,225 in this first hour. There's a few minutes left here, and we've got to raise $5,000 by 2:00. So if you've waited for a chance to support the Think Show in the last week and change of the membership campaign, this is a fantastic opportunity because your dollars, maybe even a little bit larger contribution, $250 or $365, will really help knock this challenge out and keep us on track for the overall drive goal and bring an additional $1,500 into the station. Call 800-456-5372. Contribute online at KERA.org. Please do your part right now.
Honestly, that $365 level, I think, is one of the coolest things that we have. It's you become what we call a day sponsor. And rather than a thank you gift, which is an object, you get to come up with a short message that will be broadcast several times on some particular day that you choose. And it's you get to choose as long as no one else has already claimed that day. And any sort of non-commercial message that you want, we have a lot of happy birthdays and happy anniversaries and things like that, is is yours, and it's on KERA's airwaves, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, and it's you call 1-800-456-5372 and tell the folks who answer the phone that you want to be a day sponsor of KERA.
I want to thank Jessica Robinson in Irving and Chadrick McCarty in Plano. Thank you for doing your part. Chadrick renewed his membership. Also heard from Herman Wong in Chesapeake, Virginia. Thanks, Herman. This is Herman's first membership contribution. Really appreciate your support. Everybody who calls is helping us get that much closer to the $5,000 goal during Think Today. Remember, we must raise $5,000 or more in order to be able to accept this $1,500 additional gift from Fujitsu Network Communications. It's called a challenge for a reason, folks, because if we don't make it, we don't get the extra $1,500 here at KERA to put toward the programs that you listen to every day.
You know, Herman reminds me to remind you that if you are a podcast listener from anywhere in the world or you listen to our live stream from anywhere in the world, regardless of when you actually listen to this broadcast, we have people available to take your call. And we absolutely invite you to become a member of the station and particularly in support of this program specifically. So you can call us at 1-800-456-5372 or go online to KERA.org. One of the cool thank you gifts that you may be interested in is at our $180 membership level. That's $15 a month on the sustaining membership. It's the Solio Hybrid 1000 Solar Charger. This is one of those thank you gifts that I myself covet.
What does it do?
You take it and you put it in the sun and it gathers power from the sun, and then you use it to power up your electronic devices, your phone and your PDA and whatever little device you have. There are a bunch of adapters so that it works with multiple kinds of phones. And then you are always in a place where you can power up your phone. Great for people who go camping or just for people who want to know that no matter what else goes out, they will have power for their phone.
Unless the sun goes out.
In which case, you've got bigger problems.
800-456-5372. $3,475 left to raise. Come on, make your call right now to 800-456-KERA or your contribution online at kera.org. Would love to get below 3,000 left to raise by 2 o'clock. We have a very interesting show coming up with University of Texas history professor H.W. Brands, comparing Obama's first 100 days with FDR's first 100 days and talking about presidencies in general. And you don't want to miss any of that, so please call right now, 800-456-5372.
This is actually a guy that I heard speak at a conference and came back and told Jeff he would be the best guest, and thankfully he was available to talk about this, so we're excited about that. You are supporting your source for NPR News, KERA 90.1 Dallas-Fort Worth Denton, K261 CW 100.1 in Tyler, K202 DR 88.3 in Wichita Falls, and K259 EV 99.8 in Sherman. Just learned today that Stacy Keach has family ties to Wichita Falls.
Yeah,
cool.
he's and like yours truly, was born in Savannah, Georgia. So, it was a great conversation, and how generous
nice
of him to take the time to come in here and also to endure some pledge breaks live and in person. But you know what? That's how we raise the money. And Jim Osborne in Arlington gets it. He's a new member. We also heard from Billy in Dallas, who has rejoined KERA. Thanks so much to each of you. We would love to be able to read your name and to count you toward this $5,000 challenge, $5,000 we must raise in order to accept a $1,500 check from Fujitsu Network Communications. The station doesn't get the money if you don't help us raise the $5,000 by 2 o'clock. 800-456-5372 or online at kera.org.
It only takes a couple of minutes to set this all up, whether you want to pay with a credit or debit card or even to set up a sustaining membership, which is this monthly draw from your checking account into our membership account. That's a really convenient thing that a lot of people like. Of course, credit cards put your money to work right away. We can also arrange for you to send in a good old paper check if that's the way you prefer to do things. We try to make this as easy as possible and give you as many options as possible so that there is no reason in the world why you wouldn't join us right now at 1-800-456-5372.
You know, I'm going to go and pull up the email for the next break, Chris, because I did hear from someone yesterday when I gave
when you
my...
said, why don't you join?
When I said, tell me why you won't join, Jay Whittington at KERA.org. And the offer still stands. I'd love to know why you, you know, won't consider a membership. But I did get one email from someone who wanted us to know why she did join the station. Huh. And I'll be sharing that with you and everyone who listens to Think in about 20 minutes. But right now, we would love to hear from you. We'd love to hear why you join at that other number, 800-456-5372. Or online at kera.org. It is so important that we make this challenge because it's really hard. Actually, it's completely inappropriate for KERA to have to say no thanks to a $1,500 additional gift.
Yeah, $1,500 is a lot of money for us. It may be a lot of money for you, too, so you understand how important it is that we add this to our budget. We need to raise $5,000 within the next hour of Think. It's certainly possible thanks to you. We've raised $3,470. We have to go $3,475. That leaves us with more than half, but we can definitely get there. Thanks.
Think is produced by Jeff Whittington and engineered by Jeannie Mascoro. Learn about upcoming programs, subscribe to our free daily podcast, and order CD copies of your favorite Think shows on the radio page of KERA.org. And we'd like to hear what you think about Think. Email your comments, questions, and suggestions to think@KERA.org.